Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening into the show this week. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, it's installment number 3 of our French Quarter Fest series. Really excited about that. As you know, we tape these interviews down at Louisiana Music Factory, the finest record store in the world, 421 Frenchman Street. Thanks to them for hosting us yet again, and also thanks to our friends at French Quarter Fest for partnering up with us to put on this great series where we talk to musicians who participate in the festival, and we talk about music and food and drink and culture and New Orleans and all kinds of cool stuff. On this go-round, we have Corey Henry, the spectacular trombonist, who is the band leader of Corey Henry and the Tremé Funktet. He grew up in the Tremé, played in the Tremé Brass Band, world-famous Tremé Brass Band, came from a musical family, just a really interesting guy. And also Sam Kraft, another interesting guy, who is one of the members of the, we'll call him sort of South Louisiana indie pop band, Sweet Crude. They're really interesting. They record both in English and in French. So they kind of bring this sort of South Louisiana, French Cajun language component to an indie pop sensibility that's imbued with a lot of a New Orleans and South Louisiana flavor as well. So a cool conversation with those guys. We're going to jump right over to Louisiana Music Factory in just a couple minutes. A couple programming notes for you, friends. What I think the plan is going to be is that we're going to run our fourth installment of the French Quarter Fest series next week on the 25th. We're going to be joined by Bruce Sunpie Barnes. If something changes on that and we run that a little later, I'll let you know if we do a different show, but that's the plan as it stands now. Bruce is a super interesting guy. More on that coming soon. And then also then on March 4th, which would be the next Monday, that's Lundi Gras, friends. And what I usually do from the Friday before Mardi Gras through Ash Wednesday, the day after Mardi Gras, of course, I kind of check out. It's one of the couple times of the year that I say, nope, I'm offline. So we're going to be most likely running probably a collection of some segments talking about Mardi Gras cocktails and some other things. That'll be the plan there. Then we'll be back with a new show on the 11th after that. I want to note also, as I said last week, that you catch the show here on radio, of course, if you're listening on WGSO at the moment here on Monday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. Most Fridays, the show will run again 7 to 8 p.m. on the radio, occasionally preempted by live basketball broadcasts. We'll try and let you know when we can, when we know those schedules far enough in advance. But, you know, the best way, go catch a show on podcast, on your favorite podcast platform. You can get all the information, the links, subscribe to whichever one you want to, or just simply download the podcast or stream it right from our website right there at noladrinks.com. Hey, friends, a little sad note here. The first installment of the French Quarter Fest series that we did a handful of weeks ago, our two guests were Stephanie Jordan and Tim Lachlan. And Tim is a friend. I count them both as friends now. But Tim's musical mentor and somebody that we talked about, a frequent collaborator, as well as somebody who taught Tim a lot, Connie Jones, passed away last week. And we want to give a shout out to him, his family, his fans, and of course to our friend Tim, who, you know, lost someone very special to him. So when we go out of this segment, which we're going to do in just a second, we're going to play the song, one of their collaborations called My Buddy by the great Connie Jones and Tim Lachlan. So here you go on that front, friends. And then we're going to be back at Louisiana Music Factory, French Quarter Fest Series, episode number 3, Corey Henry and Sam Kraft of Sweet Crude. Come on back. Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOLAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOLA.com.
Stepping through muddy water, I won't catch no credit, no check for money.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show this week, friends, as always. And yes, as you know, we are doing the third installment of our French Quarter Fest series here, coming to you from Louisiana Music Factory, the finest record store in the world, 421 Frenchman Street. Pleased to be joined by my next two guests here, Corey Henry. Corey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for making some time, man. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Yeah. And Sam Kraft from Sweet Crude, man. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Sam. Thanks for making it. It's good to have you guys on and talking about French Quarter Fest and some other stuff, and we'll get there. But, Corey, let me ask you this, man. So you are the leader of the Tremé Funktet, which is a great band. And tell us a little bit. Tell us about the music that you're doing, man.
That's correct. Thank you. Yeah, lead of Tremé Funktet. We started Tremé Funktet. It was like 2011, and we did it. We started at the Candlelight Lounge, actually, and that's actually my cousin's. She's the owner of that place.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, they went through a thing with like after the hurricane, where they were trying to do renovations and bring most of the music, the live music, back to the Tremé neighborhood. So that was one of the places that we started during the weekly.
Okay.
And, you know, we started on Sunday nights, I believe it was. And, you know, we started doing it weekly. And as a way, like I said, of trying to bring music back to the Tremé neighborhood, because most of the bands and most of the clubs, you know, well, most of the clubs had to close.
Right.
Of course. So, but a lot of the bands, you know, from the Tremé neighborhood, you know, we always love to still perform there. So just, you know, as a way to trying to keep an active spot going, you know.
Yeah.
And we started over there, you know, just doing a weekly, and it kind of evolved into a band. You know, it was more like a little jam session at first.
Okay. Then people that you grew up with and grew up playing music with, or friends?
Yeah, it was a bunch of friends of mine, musicians.
Okay. Yeah.
And friends, you know, we got together, and we just kind of started like a jam session type situation over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of turned into the beginning of the Tremé Funktet.
Okay.
So that's how we got that started, you know. And far as music goes, you know, just doing basically stuff that I love to do, that I've been loving my whole life, you know, like funk music, New Orleans funk, you know, some of the older funk, like James Brown type stuff,
yeah.
You know, so I try to incorporate a little bit of everything, you know.
Awesome.
But, it's been going pretty well.
Because I want to get back into, like, you know, some of the, you come from a musical family and some things like that, so I'm going to come back to you on that. But, Sam, tell us a little bit about Sweet Crude and interesting approach, I think, like Francophile music, right? Mm-hmm. But very contemporary. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
We Sweet Crude started about 2013 is when we first played our first show, and the idea was that we wanted to blend the French dialect of Louisiana with modern pop music that me and my friends were making. So like this Louisiana Music Factory, there's rub boards hanging up, and there's like all these amazing records by French singing musicians from many generations in this store, and we wanted to take that tradition but put it in like the vehicle that is the music that we wanted to make. So it's kind of like the modern indie pop, mm-hmm. The kind of stuff that we were interested in listening to,
mm-hmm.
and bring that language and that dialect into you know, something that's a little more like contemporary with the music that they were into. So,
right.
So this is something that really wasn't being done. And generally speaking, if you're singing in French, it's like Cajun Zydeco music, and if you're not, it's in English, you know, mm-hmm. in general. So that's something that was an experiment we wanted to try. We've been doing it ever since. So that's the concept behind it.
Now, is anybody in the band? Because you said you grew up in Algiers. Anybody mm-hmm. in the band French speaker, native Cajun speaker?
Yeah, well, we all have that. Several of us in the group have that heritage.
Okay.
And part of the reason for starting the band was to reconnect with those roots. Because, yeah, the thing is that most kids our age don't grow up speaking it anymore. Mm-hmm. We'll grow up hearing it.
Hearing it, right.
Kind of that, you know, there'll be some older members of the family that will occasionally kind of veer the conversation in that direction.
You knew when you were getting yelled at, right?
Yeah, yeah. You might know when you're getting in trouble or something like that. Yeah, you start to recognize the profanity. But yeah, but so it was a thing that an attempt to reconnect with those lost links.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the point of the band, and it kind of it either re-exposes people who once had that connection but lost it. Let's just say that grandma died, or you know, the in our case with me and my brother, it was like our great grandfather who spoke it a lot, and we were able to, we had that there was at one time a connection. When he passed away, you know, it became less of a reason. You know, sometimes it's one person that keeps it going,
mm-hmm, right?
And then they go away, and then it just goes away.
Yeah.
And languages are really hard like that. It's really difficult to keep something going, and it's such an important part of the culture of Louisiana is this French element. So it was something that we wanted to kind of reintroduce it to maybe people who kind of had echoes of it in their mind, but it's slowly starting to fade away. So that was a big goal in what we do. It was a thing that all of us kind of heard growing up, and you can still hear,
sure,
especially if you go out west from here. But it's really something that we wanted to bring into now.
Yeah, awesome. Corey, so you growing up in the Treme, and so I mean, I know your grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, played with Prez Hall, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And your uncle is obviously one of the band leaders of Treme Brass.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So you because we're talking about sort of, as Sam was just saying, trying to keep the culture alive. You are very dedicated, I think, and active in trying to keep the Treme culture alive and the musical culture that comes from your neighborhood, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, it's Treme neighborhood, and, you know, there's a lot of great musicians from that area, you know, from way before I was here.
Right.
Born, you know, so
right.
We just kind of doing our part as, you know, keeping the tradition alive and trying to pass it down to the next generation of musicians, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, through my brass band, the style of music that I like to play, through whether it's Treme Funktet or whether it's some swing jazz or whatever, you know, we try to keep it deeply rooted in New Orleans and make sure that we keep it alive and pass it down, you know.
Now, I was reading, too, in a little bit in your bio, so you didn't go through sort of what a lot of folks do where you go through the high school band program. You just kind of learned by playing with your uncle and playing with the family and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I learned a lot about, I think I was probably about 15 or 16 years old when I got in Treme Brass Band. And at that time, my uncle, he had so many bad musicians playing in a band at that time, and he had pretty much Fat Domino whole saxophone section.
Yeah,
so they was playing, you know, on the front line, and I was just fortunate to be, you know, lucky to be able to get up there with those cats. And, you know, the rest is pretty much history because, you know, out of those four or five cats, they pretty much played everything that is to be played.
Right,
you
right,
know, so
right.
You could just kind of sit there and, like, soak in a pot of gumbo, you know, and just kind of absorb everything, you know. So
that's a good education, man. You didn't need to band program at school.
Yeah, it was definitely. And, you know, along with that, you know, a lot of cats in the neighborhood, you know, coming up, it was always brass bands, a music band playing at different bars, different clubs, associating pleasure clubs, what have you, you know. So I was always around it from the minute I walked out my door. You know, it was like a band or a second line or something. So it was really rich in the neighborhood.
Everywhere around you.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Sam, with you then, how did you do musical family? Or
yep.
Yeah.
So my dad is a trombone player, and me and my brother, who plays in Sweet Crude, we got involved in playing music through his band. You know, just, you know, a couple buildings down was the Dream Palace.
Yeah, okay.
It's now Blue Nile, but we would, you know, we started off just like kind of selling records and that kind of thing, taking, you know, $8 at the door or whatever. And then that turned into, like, when we were just old enough, his band is the New Leviathan Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, which is, at times, you know, between 18 and 20 piece group. So as Corey was saying about, like, just being able to sit in and hear amazing players play, we kind of were just like, you know, playing three quarters of the notes, you know, and just hanging in there, you know, doing our best. And they're reading really complicated orchestrations. You know, it's like it's an attempt to really reproduce the traditional jazz of New Orleans, like in kind of like a full orchestral presentation. So it's really complex. But anyway, so we got started playing in his group, in that group, and then that was kind of our first, like, gigs, I guess, our first professional performing experience. So then when we got a little bit older, we were like, we want to write our own music and do our own thing. We started playing in bands together and kind of figuring out what we wanted to sound like, and that step-by-step has led us to Sweet Crude.
Who are some of the influences? Like, as you mentioned, the indie pop genre.
Yeah, and that's, like, a really generalization. It's impossible to... Anyway, but well, the stuff we love.
I never like putting anybody in a box, by the way. So that's why I like to ask, like, who are some influences as opposed to what kind of music do you play?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're really influenced by. We have a lot of percussion in the band, and a lot of we kind of are all singing at once at times. Mm-hmm. It's me and there's another lead vocalist, Alexis Marceau, and between the two of us, we kind of have a vocal duet going on all the time, and everybody is kind of contributing vocally, and there's a lot of percussion. So we're very influenced by like the street music of New Orleans. We're very influenced by the music that you hear, the second line and parade culture of New Orleans. But we're also very influenced by like Talking Heads and Electric Light Orchestra and other bands that have this like kind of that bring in elements of chamber music and world music and into their pop music sound.
That makes a lot, in listening to your music, that was actually the ELO thing. I wouldn't have pulled that off the top of my head, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that's a band that we have a lot of our sound has to do with bands that bring in orchestral elements into their music.
Okay.
I'm a violinist, my brother is a cellist, and several of us played in school bands and school orchestra and stuff like that. And studied music in college, and we have this like kind of nerd gene that wants to have that kind of element in the music. So we really have a good time arranging our music and trying to make it trying to push that line between heady and catchy.
Exactly.
So we love singing in harmonies. We love emphasizing rhythm. And so that kind of is our sound right
cool.
there.
Yeah, right on.
But all in French and English. So it's like bilingual percussion singing. But it's all 4.5 minute pop songs. Or whatever,
yeah, yeah, right, know? Right, sure. Corey, what about you? I mean, because you mentioned growing up obviously in the Tremé, and we're talking about your uncle and the Tremé Brass Band of which you were a part. Mm-hmm. You did mention James Brown at the beginning. Because when I've seen you play. You do some pretty hard. I mean, it's some pretty hard driving funk music, man.
And thank you, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, well, James Brown, of course, is one of the, I think probably the greatest trombone player in my books would be Fred Wesley.
Yeah, okay.
Of James Brown.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so I think when I heard him, that changed everything for me, for us being a musician and a trombone player. So, you know, I still to this day get a lot of inspiration from all of his recordings and, you know, get a chance to talk to him from time to time, you know, and get some advice.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But, you know, besides that and, you know, all of New Orleans greats, you know, and family members like my Uncle Benny Jones and, you know, I have a brother also that plays with the Free Agents Brass Band.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So, and of course, my daughter, she plays with the Pinettes Brass Band.
Yeah, okay.
So we all influence and, you know, by New Orleans music and what we came up around. So, like I said, my grandfather was a drummer. He played with a numerous brass bands in New Orleans, actually.
Okay, and also Prez Hall, right?
Prez Hall as well. And my great-grandfather, he was a trumpet player. So I have a great-grandfather's trumpet player, an uncle that was a trombone player. My grandfather was a drummer. My Uncle Benny Jones, a Tremé Brass Band. My father is a Grand Marshal for Tremé Brass Band, and has an I have another uncle that was a bass drummer. He's now deceased. His name is Michael George. So pretty much, you know, we got a lot of musicians in the family. You know,
just a few, huh?
Yeah, and all of us, you know, we definitely inspired by the great sounds of the city, you know, and definitely the people that has come before us.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, let's do this, you guys. Let's take a little break here on the show, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about some food and drink. We're going to talk about French Quarter Festival and some other stuff. So, you guys cool. stick around for a second?
Yeah, no problem.
Sure, thanks.
Right. Thanks, I appreciate it. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Green Show. Come on back. Les Le Bon Temps Brûlé. Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, from the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 20th through the 23rd. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, Bourbon Plus, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com.
The second annual Agave Week returns the week of Top Taco. It's tequila tasting, seminars, and parties, all at the Ace Hotel starting March 10th. Sunday night, it's Mezcalicious. Sample Top Flight Mezcal and watch Burlesque with Trixie Minx. Monday is a night in Paradiso with El Tesoro tequila tastings and a spice bar to create the perfect rim. Tuesday is Margaritas and Mariachi from Patron. And Wednesday, it's Lucha Libre Under the Stars, live Lucha Libre Wrestling. All of these events are at the Ace Hotel beginning March 10th. Get tickets now at NOLAAgaveWeek.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, it's our French Quarter Fest series. Chatting here with Sam Kraft of Sweet Crude, as well as Corey Henry of the Treme Funktet, and many other things as well. Corey, growing up, man, in the Treme, so we were talking about this before we went on the air. I speculated that you have some family members and know how to cook.
Oh, yeah. Actually, man, my mom is the best gumbo cook in the city.
Okay.
Like, the best.
Okay.
Like, her pot of gumbo don't last. It'll be gone, like, in 10 minutes. A big, huge pot.
Yeah.
But she cook a lot of gumbo for, like, different events for our community in the 6th Ward Treme neighborhood. Somebody might have a birthday party, or it can be, like, a repast or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And they might ask her to cook a pot of gumbo because they know she really specializes in that.
Well, what does she do? What does she typically do? What's her style?
Dude, I don't know. She just put her feet up in that gumbo.
Okay. You know? Like, does she do, like, chicken and dewey, or she do...
She do filet, okay. Old gumbo, okay. Different kinds of
different
gumbo,
kinds,
but I think
okay. Mostly
the filet.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, everybody know when the pot goes out, everybody notice, like, everybody just pop up.
Get on it.
Get their place and just wait for the top to open, you know, and get their thing in. So she is really one of the premier gumbo ladies in the city, for sure, you know. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm going to try to definitely make it a point to get her out a little more. She kind of shy. She, you know, she off camera type person. You know?
Okay.
So, but and yeah, my niece also. So my sister's daughter is also a great cook, and she's young. You know, she's really young. She's taking after my mom's and her mom's as well. So
okay,
they're great cooks. So you know, she do like matter of fact, I just had her cater one of our shows at Tipitina's.
Okay.
She's so good. I was like, well, we can get you to cater.
So is she in the business? I mean, does she do catering?
She have a little catering service, yeah, that she does personally, you know. Yeah. And she's trying to get it up and running. And I think she said she want to do like some one of these food truck type things
start
getting her stuff out a little more, you know. So, but she is a great cook, you know. So I'm not a real gumbo person, even though my mama cooked the best gumbo. Everybody asked me why. You know, I don't know. I just never been, you know, the big seafood type person, you know.
Okay, so yeah.
So it kind of knocked me off a little bit, you know. But everybody, all of my friends and everybody in my community know that my mom's is the bomb of the gumbo.
Is the bomb of the gumbo.
Oh, man, right, yes. Man.
Okay, I'm going to have to come. I'm going to check it out, man.
Yeah, man, I'm going to have to. You know, I was talking to her about maybe bringing, a couple of pots, maybe one or two pots to the show one night.
Okay.
And that way we could just, you know, let everybody get a little taste of
Miss
Red Ball.
I'm there, man. Sam, what about you? So, growing up, you said you grew up in Algiers, but tell me a little bit about some food and drink. Let's talk about whiskey too. You guys say that on your website.
Yeah, it's on there, isn't it? from our earliest stages as a band, we have little traditions before we get on stage and stuff like that. You know, we do a little. We call it prayer, but it's really a toast.
Gotcha.
to get in the spirit. But I also had the joy of growing up around really amazing food. My mom's a really good cook. Her gumbo is also the best. I'll give you this. Hers is the best on the West Bank. I'll tell you. but she specializes, and she had to learn to make a lot of different. Well, my brother who's in the band with me, as well as my dad, both have a seafood allergy. So everything is kind of made twice. So she makes an amazing chicken and andouille gumbo. Uh-huh. And makes an amazing seafood gumbo. But regardless of gumbos, she's of the Sashery line of people.
Okay.
So her last name is Sashery. And so she is a niece of Tony Sashery.
Tony, yeah. Okay.
Something like that. So there's a lot of cuisine in our family. And I was able to absorb a lot of this cooking tradition from her.
Uh-huh.
And so with my brothers and everybody, we all cook, you know. She had all boys, and so we all learned to cook for our significant others.
Right.
So that's been a real amazing thing that got passed down to us. So we all love to cook the staples of the city. And another fun thing about that is that because me and Jack both cook, and because we all enjoy doing it so much, whenever we go on tour, we'll bring ingredients, but otherwise we just try to source them. And then we cook gumbo, we cook jambalaya, we cook red beans or whatever for the people that are putting us up.
That's cool.
So it's like a thing that we can, like a little piece of home we can bring with. Plus, we love to eat it, you know. So it's like we can bring local cuisine on tour with us. So that's always a joy. So yeah, it's a huge part of our band because you know you can make a whole lot of red beans for cheap and feed. And we're a 6-piece band, and there's always other people. So it's like always good to be able to know how to cook and to be in a band. It just goes together, you know.
Yeah.
It's just cheaper than I don't know.
It's easier to
make.
It's
easier to make groceries wherever you are, cook at wherever you're staying, and then have enough food for everybody.
It's healthier too, right? I mean, yeah. So you don't want to be just eating McDonald's the whole time.
It's just more satisfying for the soul. Yeah, exactly. Fast food on the road or even gas station food is really it catches up with you real fast. But Louisiana food for the way it's cooked. This is generally cooked to feed a lot of people. You know, it's hard to make like a little bit of jambalaya or a little bit of etouffee. Like, you're going to make enough to feed a lot of people.
Sure, right.
So that's kind of how we benefit from the tradition, the culinary tradition that came through our mom. And she's still, you know, it's a joy being at home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, whatever, and eat, you know, shrimp and melitone casserole and oyster stuffing and stuff like that. It's just... it's something that we had the great benefit of growing up with.
Yeah, man. Right on. Corey, I'm guessing, too, like just because of the way with say, the Treme Brass Band and things like that, I mean, there's a lot of neighborhood action going on, right, where people, bands out playing and then house party kind of stuff going on, right, where everybody's getting together and eating after or before and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we do a lot of events like that, you know, where we're doing shows and we kind of turn into a hang or whatever, you know. So everything always turns into a hang. You know, pretty much wherever we playing at, most likely, at one point it'll turn into just a kind of just chill and hang, you know.
Chill, yeah.
And everybody, you know, get on their little thing, whatever it is, grab a little drink, eat a little food or whatever, you know, and just kind of enjoy everybody's company, you know. So it's pretty cool, man.
Do you have a drink of choice?
I drink a little bit of vodka. I might have a beer or something, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to mix it up, though.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's
a lot of diversity here in this town, right?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
What's the whiskey of choice, man? When you guys before you play a game?
Yeah, it's historically been I think on a rider, you know, the document that you send around to the venue so that they will have in the green room what you ask for. We generally ask for Buffalo Trace.
Okay.
which is just like a good, fine,
solid bourbon. Yep.
Wild Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Is another bourbon that we like. We've been like I've just noticed, and I'm pretty sure it says this in the rider now, is that they've been asking for like tequila and wine. So I don't know anything about tequila or wine. I know that tequila tastes better to me when it's clear. But, you know,
okay, yeah.
There's like Reposado or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's the barrel-aged Reposado, and then the Añejo is more barrel-aged, yeah.
Yeah, so I know precious little about that, but I know that's been making an appearance, and that gets everybody in the mood. Tequila.
Tequila does something.
Well,
yeah.
On a long gig,
yeah, okay.
You don't want to be saddled down with whiskey. Like, you want to have tequila so that you can keep the energy going.
That it's more of a pick-you-up kind of one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So that for the longer sets – tequila's usually in the mix.
You know, we had Bryce Miller was on with us, Dr. Bryce Miller.
Uh-huh. And, oh, yeah. No,
and, yeah, you know Bryce. Yes. And he had this whole pearl of wisdom. He had this whole argument laid out about why tequila is good for you, like healthy for you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm not sure I bought in entirely. I'm like, what's your PhD in, man? I'm not sure it's in health and nutrition, but.
Your kidneys. Yeah. Got to check with your kidneys. You, got,
exactly.
You agree?
Indeed, man. Well, let's do this, you guys. Let's take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about French Quarter Fest, a little bit more about music, where we can catch up with y'all and stuff like that.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back. We say Le Bon Temps Brûlé. Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, from the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 20th through the 23rd. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, Bourbon Plus, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com.
Take it from the top right here. 1, 2, 1, 2, ready, come on.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening in this week, friends. As always, yeah, we're doing our French Quarter Fest series here from Louisiana Music Factory 421 Frenchman Street, chatting with Corey Henry and Sam Kraft. Gentlemen, thanks again for making some time and coming out today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you guys are going to stick around. We're going to do another shot with Noel Drinks podcast thing, talk a little bit more about music and some other stuff. But let's talk about a little bit here coming up. We got French Quarter Festival coming up April 11th through the 14th, April 10th through the 14th, right about there.
That's right.
I should know that. I saw you guys play there last year, so I know this isn't going to be your first go-around coming up. How many times have you guys done the fest?
It's been a few. This might be our fourth, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Which is a huge honor. I remember the first time we did it was we had just started, and I don't think we had enough music to fill the time slot. To be honest with you, it's like vamp. You know, we might have had to do an encore before our set was done. You know what I mean? Like, we'll reprise.
Well, that's a good thing about that gig, Greg. They're pretty tight on the schedule, aren't they? I mean, you get your slot, and the stage manager's out there, like, you know, giving you the 2 minutes and giving you the 1 minute, and then it's like, you know, kick the plug out the wall if you're not done. What about you, Corey? So I know you guys have played more than once, right?
Yeah, we played. Actually, I've been playing French Quarter Fest for some time, and I used to play with Kermit Ruffins. I did a lot over the years with Kermit Ruffins. Mm-hmm. And over the last maybe 5 years or so, I've been kind of playing as you know under my own name, mm-hmm. Corey Henry, Treme Funk Tet. So, but we've been playing forever, man. You know, it's always good to be back. You know,
it's a great you know, Corey, tell me what that festival means to you as a musician, and you know, just kind of what you think it means to New Orleans and that sort of thing.
Well, it's a good you know, it's a good festival for most of the local bands mm-hmm. that don't get a chance, you know, to do some of the bigger festivals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a great opportunity, and we love, like, for instance, this year we're not going to be playing Jazz Fest with my band Treme Funk Tet. For whatever reason, I don't know, you know, but sometimes they'll do that. You know, you'll play a year, take a year.
The political machinations of Jazz Fest, we don't even need to talk about that.
Yeah, right? They got so much going on. I mean, ain't no big deal, you know, because it's another festival. It's a great festival, mm-hmm. not to, you know, put any kind of bad word on it or anything.
Sure, sure.
It's a great festival. We would love to be a part of it, Mr. Quint Davis, if you're listening, you know. But we're cool. You know, we love playing French Quarter Fest, of course, and a lot of the other stuff that we do is pretty nice. Shows that we do are pretty nice as well. So French Quarter Fest, like I said, though, it's a great opportunity for the local bands to be able to get out in front, you know, different crowds and a lot of different audiences,
yeah,
people from all over the world
it's
coming
all out
in,
now, huh? It's, it used to be a local thing, and now it's people from
it's
everywhere.
Huge now, man. Yeah. It is huge now. So we can't call it local, but the music stays local, and, you know,
yeah.
And they're starting to also incorporate some of the bigger bands. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, which is all good. So, I mean, you know, we glad to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know.
What about you, Dan? Just like what it means to you. I mean,
yeah.
It's it exposes you. You guys play, when I saw you last year, you guys played at one of the stages on the river, if I remember correctly.
And right.
That's a lot of people out there, man.
Yeah, it's an amazing, it was an amazing kind of way to get our name out there, for sure, mm-hmm. when they asked us to do it. So we're very grateful for French Quarter Fest for having us. As Corey said, it's this amazing showcase of local talent for the whole world to see, for a crowd that is it's enormous. I mean, a million people. How many? I mean,
it was about 750,000 the last couple of years, give or take.
It's crazy, yeah. And so being able to have that kind of a showcase of, I mean, they say New Orleans casts a really big shadow, and so it's really amazing to have that kind of opportunity. I think that they're I think that they're very awesome to artists. I mean, it's, you know, you have to work with the French Quarter infrastructure. You have to figure out how to, but you know, they make arrangements for that in a way that's really impressive, I think.
So you're talking like logistics, like getting your gear to the stage,
parking.
So yeah, I mean, and if you're an attendee to the festival, you know that's what it is going in. In New Orleans, we know how to block off a street.
Yeah.
They know how to direct traffic into or away from an area.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up like a grid in the French Quarter, so things can be set up accordingly.
Yep.
And they work with that very well, that another city couldn't do something like that on such a regular basis. With such success,
that's a good point.
I think that they work amazingly well given the limitations and the pluses and minuses of doing it, and I think that it invites like a really fascinating and amazing experience for anyone who's visiting New Orleans to get a big heavy dose of our local culture,
mm-hmm.
at a free festival.
Yeah, right.
In the sort of hub of our tourism. Which is the French Quarter.
A lot of good food and drink out there, too. You know, it's all local restaurants that are out there doing the food.
Exactly. A showcase of all the flavors and all the and, I mean, it's a joy to eat out there when you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to support the local cuisine and drinks out there. It's, like, amazing. So, it's always been a positive experience. And you're right on the river, and you get this beautiful view.
Yeah.
And if you're further into the quarter playing, you'd mentioned, because I think we'll be on the river at the Abita stage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go further in, you still get this amazing pedestrian experience of just
sure,
like walking around.
Small stages on Royal and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
get
Bourbon.
The feeling of the – because music in New Orleans versus a lot of other places in the world is an outside – it's something that can be enjoyed – that is enjoyed best outside.
Yeah.
And so having music in this filling the streets is just like an amazing part of our city. French Quarter Fest captures that in a beautiful way, I think.
Yeah, well put. Corey, we got about 2 minutes, guys, before we have to close out the radio portion of the show. Some places that you're playing coming up, man, and where do we find you online and all that good stuff?
Well, tonight we'll be playing at the Maple Leaf.
Okay.
So if you're out tonight, come on out to Oak Street Uptown.
This will be heard after, so you'd have to go back in time, do a time warp, man, to catch
it. Oh, yeah, it's going to be one of okay. Well, we do Vaughn's on Thursdays,
okay.
Every Thursday.
Okay.
So, you know, you have a chance to come out and check that out. We usually get started about 10:30 or so. And what else we got coming up? We're going to be doing, what's the name of this event coming up on? Well, this will probably play after that, too. So
okay.
Just come down to Vaughn's.
Okay, come check it out on Vaughn's on Thursday nights.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's the website, man? Facebook page?
Oh, you can catch
us
Facebook, Corey Henry. Just Google Corey Henry, you know, and it'll come up. Facebook, Corey Henry, Treme Funk, Ted, our website will come up.
How many albums you got? With
I have
the Funk
one
Tet?
Album. One okay. album on under Funk Tet.
Yeah.
And,
it's a great record, by the way.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And we're working on, actually, we're about to record a live album at Vaughn's. So that's what we're in the process of working towards right now.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be getting that in the next couple of months or so.
Oh, right on. Let me know. We'll put that out on the Facebook
Definitely
page
will,
and stuff
man.
Like that. And Sam, you guys are getting ready to jet off to Europe. We got about a minute and a half left, man. But
sure.
Yeah.
We'll be in Europe for the rest of February and March. February, excuse me. In March, we're coming back. We're going to be playing at right when we land. We'll be at we try to get a few hours of sleep, and then we go play at One Eye Jack's with Sweet Crude and Big Frida.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll be opening up for Frida. And that's kind of becoming a Mardi Gras tradition. It's like the weekend before leading up to Mardi Gras. It's kind of like this Frida Gras, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that at and then after that, we're playing at at Tips on April 12th. So that's March 3rd at One Eye Jack's.
Okay.
With Frida. And then we'll be playing
Lost Bayou Ramblers.
Bayou on April 12th. And then that weekend, on the Sunday, is when we're at French Quarter Fest.
Yeah, right on. So. Cool. Website, man. Facebook page real quick.
SweetCrudeBand.com.
Okay.
And then Facebook.com/SweetCrudeBand.
You're on the gram and Twitter and
all the
that
gram,
too.
All the ways that you can be on the internet, we're on it.
Same with you, Corey?
Yeah, same, man. Yeah, Corey Henry. Just Google that. Everything will come
you
up.
You can find on all the handles. All right, right on.
Yeah.
And, of course, friends, you can find all their music here at Louisiana Music Factory. They got a website. LouisianaMusicFactory.com and come check it out. We're going to take a little break here. We're actually going to close out the radio portion of the show right now. Corey and Sam are going to stick around. We're going to do another shot with Noah Drinks, talk a little bit more about music, food, drink, Europe, tequila, I don't know, anything. So friends, remember, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all. Thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noah Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, another shot with Noah Drinks brought to you by our good friends at Nola Agave Week and Top Taco Nola. Go check out NolaAgaveWeek.com and TopTacoNola.com for more information coming up March 10th through the 14th. Lots of fun stuff going on there. Hey, I hope you are enjoying the conversation with Corey and Sam. I know I did. A lot of fun doing our French Quarter Fest series, and we'll be back with another one of those next week, talking to Bruce Sunpie Barnes, and we're going to bounce back over in just a second to Louisiana Music Factory and continue that conversation, and then after that, I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. All right, everybody, yep, another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in this week, friends. As always, we're here at Louisiana Music Factory, part of our French Quarter Fest series, chatting with Sam Kraft of Sweet Crude and Corey Henry, among other things, of the Treme Funktet. And let's talk a little bit. We touched on this, you guys, like kind of growing up around music, you know, musical families and this sort of thing. Corey, I'll throw this to you first. Tell me, what's important to you about the idea of maintaining the tradition of music? That's an important part of this, right? You have older family members who have handed things down to you, taught you, how do you take that seriously as well? And I mean, are you trying to pass it on to the next generation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Starting with my daughter.
You know, there you go. Case in point, right?
Yeah, definitely the first place to start right there, you know, and getting her going. And, you know, she played in high school and she, started with the Roots of Music, mm-hmm. which is, one of the greatest New Orleans kid music programs that's going right now. So,
okay.
And that's my good friend and brother Derek Tabb from the Rebirth Brass Band started that program.
Okay.
So my daughter, you know, of course it was a no-brainer. to get up in the program, you know. And ever since then, she's been blossoming and blooming, man, you know, and just getting into her music and loving performing and educating herself more about it, you know. So, mm-hmm. And, you know, besides that, I work with a lot of little trombone players around the city, like, you know, Ravon Andrews, who's a young cat from the Andrews family.
Okay.
You
know? Oh, yeah.
And a lot of little brass band cats, you know, they'll come up and ask, you know, can you connect with us on certain things musically or whatever, you know. And I'm, you know, that's what I love to do. So I'm always willing to work with them, you know, especially the brass band cats, because I kind of feel like they remind me of myself in a sense too, you know, because yeah. I come from the same kind of background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember being right there. So I'm always open to working with the younger musicians and trying to do different things. And we, you know, we've been looking at trying to start a program for the youth, a musical program. So,
cool.
You know, we'll be having that, you know, in the works and see where that goes too. So, but yeah, man, always definitely trying to pass it down. We really take it very seriously. Like I said, you know, as being a member of the Treme Brass Band with Uncle Lionel and Uncle Benny, you know, I was very fortunate to sit there and just learn a lot of this history about New Orleans and the music,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that was one of the biggest things they always was, you know, real serious about, just passing it down and maintaining the tradition, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. in that sense, I'm definitely very dedicated to
keeping that going. Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. On, right on. Sam, what about you? You guys are pretty young. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, feel free to answer the question I just asked Corey, but did you guys, aside from, say, family members and stuff, have you had anybody take you under their wing and give yeah. you a hand with all this?
I'd say so. I know when we were starting out as a band, we were, like, trying to figure out, is there anyone that's doing what we're doing, which is taking Louisiana French dialects and trying to keep it alive in a way that's like, atypical, that's a little unusual. And it's pretty small, and so we knew who to reach out to and who to kind of look up to or look over to, and that was like Lost Bayou Ramblers,
mm-hmm.
who are doing something a little different with Cajun music,
mm-hmm.
and then also Fufole, who have really added some really fresh sounds into what they're doing as well, Yeah, we were able to connect with them and get on bills with them and just kind of like pick their brains a little bit. And so, like, we have the show coming up at Tipitina's with Lost Bayou, and that's, like, you know, meaningful to us because it's, they kind of paved the way for what we're trying to do,
yeah.
which is bring in this new sound, bring it to a younger audience, because they listen to their dads and uncles play the music, you know, and a lot of the music that I grew up listening to and hearing through my dad's group, it's kind of the music we're hearing right now. It's mm-hmm. it's this traditional New Orleans jazz, kind of Dixieland, foxtrot, you know, Susan marches, everything in between, and in a small way, in some way that kind of maybe the work ethic of it, or maybe the how to put a band together and keep a schedule of gigs, maybe, you know, that kind of nuts and bolts stuff. Definitely came down.
Show up on time
sure in the right paid. Clothes. Right.
In the right clothes.
That was the message. Show up on time in the right clothes. A few years later, it became show up on time in the right clothes, sober.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And
right.
So it's all that stuff has come through strongly. And then yeah, we what we hope to do is create this connection where a lot of my generation grew up where, like, we have this echoes of this language. And as you go further west, something gets a little more every day. If you go down to the Walmart and Cut Off, you might hear, you know, down Lower Lafourche, Terrebonne, Lafayette, Ville Platte, places like that where it's a little more of an everyday alive
mm-hmm.
thing. In New Orleans, we're a little bit orphaned from that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, we want to sort of wave the flag of it here. And be able to travel with it and all this kind of stuff. It's very important to us. But being authentic to ourselves, we grew up in New Orleans. We grew up listening to New Orleans music.
Sure.
We also grew up listening to pop music, and we want to be authentic to that mm-hmm. as well. So that's why we're not necessarily playing the Cajun and Zydeco that they're normally associated with this language. So I guess we're just trying to see if it can be done, and if it can be done, then other people should do it too.
Yeah, you know? There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go, man. creating something. Corey, let me ask you this, man, because like we, Sam's saying, you know, show up on time, show up wearing the right clothes. Treme Brass Band, man, you got to wear the right clothes, man. Send you home, right? If you don't,
I think I still got a pain right here from right on my back from my Uncle Bennett just popping me on my back with the drumstick uniform, turn around, stand straight, and all of that. I still tell him to this day, man, you wore my shoulder out with that drumstick. Still feeling pain, you know. But they, you know, that's one of the first thing they teach. You know, you got to be in uniform. You got to be professional. Mm-hmm. You know, that's having your black and white. You know, having your belt and your black band cap, your white band cap, or whatever it is, you know, full uniform. So if you're out of uniform, most likely it's going to be a problem, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I done had one of my band members to even bust me with my Uncle Bennett, telling on me. Uncle Bennett, look at him. He ain't got his white. He ain't got his hat, you know. Thinking he could get a pass because he didn't bring his
because
hat.
He yeah right so trying to deflect us. The blame and like didn't look
so
at me.
Both of us in trouble. You know? Oh, it's kind of crazy, but yeah, man, they're very very serious about uniform, you know, because you want to be presentable and you want to be professional.
And teaching you the business too, right? I mean, I think we had Stephanie Jordan on the show a while back, and one of the things that she's really big into is teaching the business side of things to younger musicians and making sure that you are professional, but also understanding the finances and things like that you have to manage through all this.
Oh yeah, man, no doubt
it's
about it.
It's having a small business. I mean,
right? Yeah.
Well, you contracts guys, and all the different things that you got to deal with, you know. So
yeah,
it's definitely, you know, it's good to be knowledgeable about the situation, you know.
You got to stay on top of it, right? Because people take advantage of you, I think, if not. I mean, we know it's an ugly – I mean, a lot of listeners out there probably know it can be an ugly business. And, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of bad eggs out there.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I mean, it is what it is. It's the nature of the business. You know, millions and millions of dollars flowing through New Orleans, you know, and the stuff that we do. You know, we generate, you know, everybody that's a part of it generates – funds, you know.
Well,
so
you know, we go ahead, man.
So I'm just saying, you know, so it's really, you know, we love playing music and performing because we've been doing that since we was kids, you know. But you got to make a living, so you don't want somebody, you know, you go perform and then one of these promoters or somebody just take all of the money, you know, and at the end of the gig you're going back with peanuts pretty much, you know. So
right.
It's definitely to stay up on that kind of stuff, you know, because you could be a victim
pretty easily.
It happens every day,
right?
You know, and like I said, the music of New Orleans is a very important thing, man. You know, so many people died doing this, you know, so it's not something to take for granted. You know, we want to keep the tradition alive and we want to pass it down and make sure that New Orleans maintains this music throughout generations to come, you know, and the right way, you know, the correct way of doing it.
Yeah,
really learning the music and performing the music and knowing it, you know. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's all parts of the music world, you know, that you got to make sure you're in tune with, you know.
That's good advice, man. Hey, do me a favor, Corey, real quick. What's the name of the album, man?
The name
with
of?
With the Treme Funk Tet, yeah.
The name of the album is L'Hôpital.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pronounced L'Hôpital.
And you said you're going to have a new live one from Vaughn's coming out hopefully in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Yeah. Yeah, we probably will put the word out probably shortly the date we're going to announce to actually do the recording over there. But it'll be in the next couple of months for sure.
Okay, right on. Yeah. And you can get the album here at Louisiana Music Factory, of course.
Of course, yep.
So, I mean, you guys have a fairly new full-length LP out, right? Because you start out with an EP first, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Sweet Crude released an LP last year called Creatures. Or Creature, it's you can say it in either language. It's spelled the same, we're working on an album right now. We've been in the studio for the past couple months, and really excited about that. Trying to have a single out in the spring, and then with the album, you know, soon to follow, depending on how things go.
Sure,
but we're super pumped to be releasing a brand new album. Some fun sounds, some weird sounds. We're getting. Just experimenting and, you know, pushing the envelope.
Awesome. You guys, I really appreciate it for
Thank
taking
you so
time
much
out.
For having
it was fun
us.
Having you on
Thanks
the show.
For having
yeah,
us,
my pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you, friends. We were just chatting with Corey Henry and Sam Kraft. Everybody, thanks for listening in this week. A brief musical interlude here, and then I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in this week. As always, I really appreciate it. As always, great fun and good times doing our French Quarter Fest series. And as I mentioned before, we'll be back next week doing the same thing. Bruce Sunpie Barnes will be joining us on the show. And then after that, the following week is Monday when we air on the radio, is Lundi Gras. And so that means that I'm not going to be around. I'm going to be out in the streets of New Orleans doing the Mardi Gras thing. So, yeah, we'll be running probably either a repeat of a show or we'll be running a collection of segments, something along those lines, and then we'll be back with a new show after that. Yeah, friends, it's our parting shot, and I was talking about Mardi Gras. Big event, we know that, right? Right after Mardi Gras ends, we move right into what we call festival season here in the city of New Orleans. As a matter of fact, and that kind of, you know, we have festival season in the spring. Well, let me get to this here, really. We have over 130 festivals in the city each year. As a matter of fact, Travel and Leisure calls New Orleans, quote, the best city in America for festivals. That averages out to about one every 3 days, which is a little bit more than that. But that's not really the case, obviously. There's not a festival every day, although it does seem like it. We also have pretty short windows here for good weather. So, you know, we have a bit of a spring and we have a bit of a fall. So there's always kind of a rush, if you will, to have your festival during those times. But it's really become kind of a year-round consideration. It's not just limited to those handful of months or weeks, I should probably say, of good outdoor fun festival weather. It's almost kind of tough these days to find a weekend day, for example, to have a festival. And frequently in those peak seasons in the spring and the fall, as I mentioned, there can be 1, 2, 3, 4 festivals on a given day. We got food festivals, we got music festivals, we got festivals for social causes. As New Orleans and Company, formerly known as the Convention and Visitors Bureau, says, from pop music and po' boys to tomatoes and Tennessee Williams. Yep. Got festivals for all those things and a lot more. Now, when people start festivals, and there seems to be always new ones popping up, you know, some kind of struggle out of the gate, and they don't necessarily struggle because there's not enough people. They struggle because there's too many people at the festivals. They tend to get better, you know, anytime you do something for the first time, you got to learn your lessons before you move on. That's one thing I always caution people if they ask me, and most people don't. But when we talk about their festivals and things like that, that, you know, get your stuff together and get it straight. Learn from your mistakes and then look to get bigger. Don't keep growing until you straighten out what you need to straighten out. That's just my little soapbox there, my little editorial for you. But as I said, there's new ones all the time. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, or now New Orleans and Company, this goes back to 2015, I believe, said that we had 9,520,000 visitors to the city. 25% of those people were festival attendees. In 2015, it was estimated that festivals directly impacted the economy to a tune of $960 million. So one could guess that these days, this year, 2019, wouldn't surprise me if it was over $1 billion. Talk about millions of visitors that come to the city. We're talking about millions of dollars in economic impact. We're also talking about millions of dollars raised for charity, because a lot of them have a charitable component, and we'll talk about that in a second. But a good example, in the summer months, not necessarily the peak festival season, Essence Festival comes the 4th of July weekend, typically right around then. This past year brought in over a 500,000 people to the city, and there was an estimated $280 million in economic impact in the middle of the summer. It's a great economic shot in the arm for the city. French Quarter Fest, our good friends, our partners with our French Quarter Fest series here that we're doing. These days, they draw about 750,000 people over those 4 or so days, and it employs 1,700 local musicians. Yeah, they get paid, which is a really good thing. Again, another as we know, we talk about this on the show all the time, our tourism economy is our economy in New Orleans, and that's largely built on the hospitality industry and the music industry. So this is a great way for local musicians to get paid. And these festivals also, many, like French Quarter Fest is a great example,
tens of millions of dollars in economic impact from that festival. All throughout the French Quarter, it's free to attend, but all the restaurants and bars, I should say not probably not all, but most of the restaurants and bars, shops, everything else get a huge gain economically during that weekend in April when French Quarter Fest takes place. And this year, it's going to be April 11th through the 14th. So, you know, what to look for in a festival. And let me mention this, too. I know we're going to be doing, it looks like in the not too distant future, doing a show on the festival economy, which I'm be very interested in putting together. So we'll keep you posted on that. But, you know, just a couple things here. We'll get more into that. But what to look for in a good festival, just, you know, my opinion. Let's talk about French Quarter Festival, our good friends there and our partners in the French Quarter Fest series. There's great music. It's all local music. It's free, as I mentioned. But what are they doing? They're working to turn it into a world-class food and drink event as well. We're in New Orleans, right? So it's already a world-class music event. I would argue the finest music festival in the world. You hear me say that all the time. But they're really working to elevate the food and drink fest. It's all local restaurants. There are dozens of local restaurants out there serving up great food. So kind of looking for that little lanyap there, right? As we say here, that little bit of extra other things. French Quarter Fest has other activities. There's lectures. I think that's very cool, and I'll get to that in a second. There's dance lessons. Yeah, you can take dance lessons, learn how to swing dance and some other stuff. So little bits of extracurricular activities, not just the music part, right? There's some other good stuff going on. And as I mentioned, lectures and dance lessons at French Quarter Fest. Education, I think, is a really cool thing in these festivals. Our good friends coming up here, and in full disclosure, yeah, sponsors and patrons of the show, but why we're involved with these next two festivals that I'm going to mention, Agave Week and Top Taco, and then New Orleans Bourbon Fest, is I think they're really good festivals. And the party themselves, in the case of Agave Week, the grand tasting, if you will, is Top Taco. That's going to be March 14th, and that's a great party. Music, food, tacos, drinks, you know, all that stuff, tequila, yep, cocktail competition, all that good stuff. But leading up to that, from the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th of March, it's NOLA Agave Week, and that's loaded with all kinds of seminars and panels and tastings and judgings. Yours truly is going to be moderating two or three of the panels going on there. So again, I like that educational component. Bourbon Fest, which is coming up March 20th through the 23rd, also they do two grand tastings on the Friday and Saturday evening. But you know, what I really like about it is during the days, there are, again, lectures and seminars. Some of the heaviest hitters in the world of bourbon and whiskey come to this event because they see the attraction of it. They see the value of being able to connect with folks here in town that are bourbon aficionados, or even those that are not necessarily aficionados, but just interested. That has been my favorite part of the festival. Yeah, I love the grand tasting. Don't get me wrong. Lots of great bourbon, lots of great food. But I like going to the seminars and I like going to the panel discussions and things like that because I learned me something. And I think that that's a really good part when you look for festivals. Something to look for is that educational component. Can you go and party? Sure. But I want education too. I want to learn something. I want to have some personal growth, if you will, from these festivals. Both of these festivals, Agave Week as well as Bourbon Fest, give money to charity as well. As I mentioned, a lot of them do this. Hogs for the Cause is coming up at the end of March, and they raise about $800,000 for great youth causes, for example. But that's another thing to look for is, again, are they just trying to make money? And there's nothing wrong with that. But are they giving to charity? And find out what the case is. Maybe you can also volunteer to get involved with that charity or volunteer to help out that day in some way to benefit their charitable efforts. I think that's another good thing to look for when you are looking at festivals to attend, because let's be realistic, friends, here, 130 festivals during the year, you can't go to them all. I don't even want to try, but you certainly can't go to them all. So you kind of got to pick your spots. And that's what I start to look for, are things that are a little different, things that are a little bit extra, as I said, a little bit of lanyap down here, personal enrichment, charitable causes, those sorts of things. So these festivals, yeah, good ones to me. There's not just a party. You can do that anytime here in New Orleans. Go to a festival and get something out of it, friends. And give back a little bit too while you're at it. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you. I'll be saying, I'll be seeing as we're trying.